talking and it goes down smooth.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, October 29th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome back. I'm so glad to be back here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, right here at Rolla J Studios. I was gone all the last week for two events. I didn't know the Champs show was going on in Denver. We've got some coverage of that. But today, a special coverage of the International Drug Policy Alliance Reform Conference at the Denver Sheraton. Over 1,000 attendees from five continents, almost every state in the union. It was an amazing, amazing event. And today, I'm bringing you the closing of that event, starting with my appearance as Dr. Duke.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Radical Russ here, a.k.a. Dr. Hunter S. Thompson, because, well, you know, it's Halloween weekend, it's Colorado, and I'm at a drug conference, so it all seems very appropriate. We're going out of the front door here of the Sheraton here in Denver, where we've been holding the conference for the past 5 days. Make our way out here to what has been known as the smoking area. And we hope to run into some friends and attendees here of the conference. Have ourselves a good time. So, hello, conference attendees.
Hello.
How are you doing? You want to talk on the... Want to say hi?
Legalize the weed. God put it on.
Is this your
earth.
First conference?
Yes, it is.
What did you think?
It is absolutely mind-blowing. Like,
yeah?
it's just... Like, my brain's on overload, but in, like, a perfect way. Like, I'm very, very empowered.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to go home and do something about it.
Now, you're from California?
Hell yeah.
Who are you working with?
A Families Act, where a family is advocating for the compassionate treatment for duly diagnosed in and out of the jail system.
Oh, fantastic. That's great work. And you're from Arizona?
I'm from Arizona. I have Southwest Arizona Patient Alliance.
So this has got to feel a little different here in Colorado, huh?
It's awesome.
Loving it?
It's awesome, because we're really struggling in Arizona. I've learned so much. I've cried. I've laughed. I've met some awesome people.
Yeah.
It's been incredible. It's been the best. I haven't been to a lot. But what I have been to, this has been the best.
I think that's the thing you touched
absolutely
on, too, is
best.
That's so important about this, is all the people you meet.
Yes.
You're making all these relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And learning so much about what's going on that you're just not even aware of.
Yeah,
you know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, come to the next one. It'll be 2 years away. I don't know where they're holding the next one, but I hope I see
Washington,
you guys.
Washington, D.C.
I'll see you in D.C.
All
right.
Come here, let me
yo.
How you doing?
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, brother?
Doing good.
How you doing, Russ? Hey, yeah, this conference, convention, this DPA 2013 has really been awesome.
Yeah.
Met a lot of people, networked a lot of friends, and Colorado, get ready for January 1st.
Yeah, no
it's
doubt.
Coming, bro.
It's coming.
It's
hard.
Coming. It's coming.
Right on.
Yeah. I'm working with getting cannabis to hospice patients at free, little, or no cost at all. People can
Baba Booey! Well done. Doesn't throw us off. We're marijuana people.
Right. the Sacramento area, 916-969-2883, or you can hit me at Hemp 4 Hospice. That's a great day.
All right, let's see who we can find as we walk out this way. We've got any more folks to interview or talk to. Oh, it's pretty quiet out here on the Western Front. All right, well, I guess we're just going to have to sit here and enjoy some Colorado freedom. All right. So it's been an amazing conference. We've got all sorts of video. We're going to have those uploaded up on YouTube. You'll be able to download, watch them as much as you like. We'll have the repeats coming up here on the rest of next week's shows. We'll show some of the best videos, some of the highlights. I'll have some time to edit some of this stuff. Over the weekend, I'll have time to put up on YouTube as well. But for now, that's all we've got from the Reform Conference. Later tonight, you're going to have the awards ceremony where Mason Tvert, Steve Fox, those guys are winning some awards for, of course, legalizing in Colorado. We've got Paul Armentano from Normal, who's winning a Lifetime Achievement Award for his journalism, his scholarship, all the work he's been doing for Normal, all that scientific work that we all rely on so much. So many other people to talk to. So we will give you more of that here live from Denver, Colorado. I'm Radical Russ.
Okay,
thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Ah, freedom. Can you smell it?
All right. I'll clean that up like you want.
See you later tonight. We can't land here. This is Bat Country.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. Welcome back, everybody. 9 after the hour, we are showing special videos from the closing ceremony of the Drug Policy Reform Conference, and in the next hour, we'll show videos from the awards ceremony from the Drug Policy Conference, the newest videos I got from my trip there to Denver. Tomorrow, we will have our regularly scheduled live episodes of The Russ Belville Show and Toker Talk Radio. For our next video, we begin the closing ceremonies with the Drug Policy Alliance's Executive Director, Ethan Nadelman.
Please, everybody, if you're sitting on the edges, move into the middle so there's room for everybody. Just
just, if you're there, just move in one seat over so people get down the edges, seats on the edges. Please move into the center of your aisles. Please, those of you coming in, quiet down and come on in. Somebody shush them, please. I think those of you who've been here before know that the way we do this is, I started asking people on Friday afternoon and today, so who's really rocked it? Who's been those speakers who, you know, you just, you know, really blew you away? And one of them was a bunch, some of the people were people who rocked it before. So, you know, guys like, you know, Kenny Glasgow, Dal Atkinson, Carl Hart, you know, they're rocking it, but they've already had their plenary chance in previous years, so could get them. So, we got a new crew of people up here, but before we do that, I want to start off. There's an organization called HCLU, Hungarian Civil Liberties Union. When they write the history of the global drug policy reform movement, these guys will go down as the videographers of this movement. Just amazing work. Check out their website. But they put together, I don't know how they do this, a little video about this conference. So can we run that?
Freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest.
War on drugs has actually turns out to be a war on Hispanic people, a war on people of color, actually a war on us.
Getting mothers together from across the nation to speak out against the violence, mass arrests, and incarceration, and the accidental overdose deaths that are the result of punitive drug policies.
I think that psychedelics have extreme, you know, merits as far as helping people to delve into their subconscious.
For me, the message is mostly about personal freedom, that people should be able to make choices for themselves. But I also do think that our governments are spending way too much money treating people as criminals.
You're looking at incarceration rates that have skyrocketed since the 70s. Just needs reform, serious reform.
I can't understand how a drug-oriented society found it necessary to declare war on itself.
Most of the victims of the drug war aren't here with us today. They're in prisons or hospitals, they're in hospital beds, or on the path to rehabilitation.
The drug war, I want you to understand this right now, is nothing but the mask of all the stuff we hate. The drug war is the mask of racism. The drug war is the mask of sexism. The drug war is the mask of xenophobia. The drug war is the mask of homophobia, Islamophobia. And one of the things that we're going to do is take off the mask.
I think we've hit the tipping point on marijuana. Because of what Colorado and Washington did and what Uruguay is going to do, we've hit the tipping point because the Justice Department, and thank you to the Obama administration for giving these states a little bit of room to run. We may be at the tipping point on marijuana, but two states down and 48 to go, and hopefully one country down and 200 to go, that's a long way to go.
Marijuana legalization is just the start. We still have people going to prison every year, 2.3 million people incarcerated in this country, and we have to change that. You know, the movement will continue to go forward because we have minds like this coming together and talking strategy, talking about what's working, what's not working.
For us, for the all the Uruguayans that we are here, this conference is like the starting, actually, of a lot of new knowledge and a lot of new learning.
All the Europeans, they are looking at Colorado, Washington, and Uruguay. We teach them things in the 90s, and now maybe we should learn things from them here today.
Compared with Europe, we don't have this kind of movements. We need to import this kind of enthusiasm, this kind of motivation to Europe.
If we're going to restore health and welfare and safety to the people of the world, we need to control and regulate drugs. We need to reinvest the nations of the world with national sovereignty, so they're deciding what's best for their country.
This is a long-term struggle for freedom. For freedom. For freedom and liberty. Yes, and compassion and justice and health and science, but it is for freedom and for liberty.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it
And you'll notice, those guys may feel new, they never stop. Okay, well, here's what each one of the next five people, the last speaker is going to get a little more time, but the next five people, each one said you got 6 minutes. You get a 2-minute warning, and in 6 minutes, a drop thing falls and you fall out of here, so don't go over. The first guy up brought here with a help.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Welcome back, everyone. 18 after here at Rolla J Studios in Potland, Oregon. I'm back from the Drug Policy Reform Conference in Denver. And one of the things I appreciate the most about the DPA's conference is the international appeal and the multicultural appeal. There was people from all over the world. I mean, from New Zealand to Portugal, from South America to North America, Canada, all the way down to Argentina. And within America, the hip-hop community, the immigrant community, all represented, none better by this next artist named Jaziri X. Check him out.
Jaziri X, come on up.
So what's the state of the black world when the hood raised black boys and black girls? Before you pass judgment on us, Jaziri X is going to give you something to discuss. See, these people talk to you if you understand the language. Corners become famous. The more blood they stain with, the more murals painted with shells hit the pavement. We need three Jesus to come and say this. We need Moses, Abraham, and David, all 12 disciples, to wash away the blood on that hand that held the rifle. Cause life's so hard, he like whoever show their face tonight is getting robbed when your home is a grave. The streets is a maze, so many cats blaze, it's hard to see through the haze. And crime pays way more than minimum wage, and plus the lead from the gang will take a swim in your waves, loosen your brains, leave bald spots in your veins, like you got your hair cut with some raggedy blades. The truth is, we know better off than women with slaves. Malcolm X and Dr. King probably spinning their brains. Yeah. It's gotta be the last day, cause I can't take no more. And these kids, they don't hold them shake no more. They in the kitchen, cooking up cakes galore, kicking down doors and everybody face the floor. And they got guns that will make them shake and contort. And they don't shoot ball, they shoot 38 for sport. Getting tried as adults when they can't sit the court. Getting sent to state prison, getting raped, oh Lord. What did we do to deserve this condition when we can't even function with our herb in our system? And every hit we take from the split blurs our vision, and the next day just means another murder victim in the summer. Just means we're going to get dumber. Coroners putting bodies under covers, and then between sheets like the Ivy brothers. He told his mother that he loved the hood, but the hood will never love you. See, what's the state of the black world when the hood raised black boys and black girls? Before you pass judgment on us, Jaziri X gonna give you something to discuss. poorest black community in the country, even though we were labeled America's most livable city. We have youth unemployment rates of 90%. We have a community where it's easier, much easier to get a gun and get a job. So for us, drug policy reform, for us, ending the war on drugs is a matter of life and death. So I ask you, as a hip hop artist, I would ask that you use us and you help use culture. Hip hop has been the strongest voice here and across the world in legalizing drugs. So use us to help push this policy forward. Use us in organizations like the Institute of the Black World to help push this agenda forward. Because if we don't do it, it really, for us, our lives are at stake in our community. So I thank you for having me. My name is Jasiri X. It's One Hood. Peace.
Fun.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long. Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night, right here on RadicalRuss.com.
Funky. Delicious.
Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
After the hour here. Another speech. This one from Tripti from India, I think, will be introduced here.
The fight has to continue for human rights and everybody. And even when we win a big victory here in Colorado, Alicia shows there's a lot more fights still to be fought and won. But the struggle on the international stage is also a great one. It's also part of our agenda. Lots of folks here from Latin America, not that much from the rest of the world. But I do want to bring one person up who really rocked it earlier today, talking about the issue of human rights and the drug war. She's a human rights lawyer from New Delhi, India, Tripti Tandon.
Thank you. Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm really nervous. This is my first DPA conference, and just a couple of minutes ago, maybe an hour ago, I was asked to speak at the closing plenary. But whenever I am nervous, I tell myself something, which is that what comes from the heart goes to the heart, and what comes from the head goes over the head. I'm really going to stick to what's coming from in here. I come from India, a land that lent its name to cannabis, so Mariana. I'm sure all of you remember that cannabis is also called Indian hemp. And the irony is that I came all the way from India to America, the land which is the father or mother of prohibition, to smoke up without the fear of God. Reform, it's really embarrassing to be an Asian, one of the few Asians in this this convention, because Asia, as you know, leads on human rights violations, on committing excesses in the name of drug control, and that's why perhaps human rights is such a central issue for us drug policy reformers in Asia. But I also want to be honest and tell you about some of the hypocrisy that you will often see in human rights circles. So when I represent cancer patients who need morphine, I'm looked up as a very respectful lawyer doing a lot of good work. But when I represent someone who actually grew the opium or processed that morphine, I am looked at with a lot of disdain and contempt. And I'm just echoing the sentiments of a colleague from Human Rights Watch who said earlier this morning that while we've come around to applying human rights principles to consumption and possession for personal use, we haven't done that around with production, sale, and trade in drugs. And I think this is really one of the big limitations for us in the human rights movement. But I think this is where the DPA conference has been such a refreshing change for me, because even though people down the corridor in whispers that, DPA doesn't do human rights work, DPA does some other stuff, they're not really involved in international human rights and the drug war, but actually you embrace everyone across the spectrum. Everyone who's involved in drugs, whether they're users, whether they're growers, whether they're dealers, whether they're persons incarcerated, irrespective of what they're incarcerated for, you stand up for all of them. And this is where I find so much inspiration from the conference that I am here today. Contrast to what our colleagues from the UNODC, I know America doesn't like the UN, but the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, for all of their hypocrisy around, yes, we believe in human rights, and for them, they've converted human rights violations as, okay, these are the unintended consequences of the war on drugs. My challenge is to use the human rights framework to question and dismantle the intended consequences of international drug control. And what I'm doing confidence to the judge in the Indian Supreme Court, who just last month admitted for arguments our challenge to the death penalty for drug offenses. And he said, counsel, you're talking about someone who is dealing in not kilos, but quintals of this horrendous contraband and doing it again and again. You're talking about rights of somebody like that. And I want to be able to say to him, yes, I am talking about the rights of someone who is selling drugs. Because if it wasn't for prohibition, he would be a very successful and a very respectful businessman. Prohibition
is great. Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
More of our special coverage of the Drug Policy Alliance Biennial Conference. It's 28 after the hour. We're live here at Rolla J Studios in Potland. And like I was saying, it's a very international conference. A lot of old familiar faces, from LEAP and Normal and DPA and MPP and so forth. But a lot of new people to meet. I didn't know this next person, Lisa Sanchez, who's going to be speaking, but she delivered a remarkable presentation. So we'll go to that video, and then we've got more speeches coming up.
Never fair to ask somebody to follow that. But life's not fair. And we do have, the next person up is one extraordinary activist from Mexico doing incredible work down there, organizing at the grass tops, the grass roots, you name it. Lisa Sanchez, will you please come on up?
My first conference, but it's definitely the best conference I've been so far. So the first thing I would like to say is I will ask my Latin American fellows to stand up, please. Gente de Latinoamérica, por favor, pónganse de pie. Out of the border of the United States, and we're making a lot of, putting a lot of effort into changing drug policy in one of the subcontinents that has been more hurt and had suffered the most out of the war on drugs. So I want you to meet all these people, and I just want to underline how amazing they've been. All the way from Uruguay, Guatemala, we had a lot of people from Colombia, people from Argentina, and of course people from Mexico. And this is actually the first time that the movement of victims from the war on drugs in Mexico have shown to this conference. So I hope you had the chance to actually talk to them, meeting them, and hear their stories. So I come from one of the countries that had suffered the most out of the war on drugs. In 5 years, we had over 100,000 people killed, 25,000 people disappeared, they're gone, we don't know where they are. We have lots of children that have lost their parents and that have a very uncertain future right now. We need to end the war on drugs because of those children, because of those mothers that don't know where their kids are. But we also, need to end the war on drugs because it's a matter of liberties, it's a matter of freedom, but it's also a matter of justice. In our region, in Latin America, we are like the most unequal region in the world. It's a matter of development, it's a matter of economics. And what I'm here to say is that you guys, people in North America, people in Canada, in the US, you've made this possible. Come on, we're in Denver, Colorado. You did it. You smashed it here. So we need you to help us end the war on drugs, not only in Latin America, but also across the world. So I will need your engagement at the international level. I know you're very active at the grassroots level, but we have very important processes coming up. We have the General Assembly of the OAS specializing in drug policy next year. We have the UNGAS. We need you to get involved in such international process and demand your government to actually change its discourse at the federal level and not only at the local level. I will use my last minute to actually thank Ethan and DPA for this incredible effort that you put together. We had interpretation into Spanish. We had a massive delegation of people coming from Latin America, lots of Latin American sessions, lots of international sessions, for you guys to actually get to know what's happening in the South, what's happening in other regions. So thank you so much for this effort, Ethan. Thank you so much, Stephanie. The DPA crew, you were amazing. And thank you so much to my Latin American fellows that are actually making this change possible. So in my home country, we don't have to have an organization of victims anymore. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. That was perfect. Thank you. Next up, from Colorado, another Lisa. From the Harm Reduction Action Center, Lisa Rabel.
Action Center. We're Colorado's largest syringe access provider and harm reduction policy leaders at the state capitol. When's the last time you had an International Drug Policy Alliance down the street from your house? Colorado's done a lot in the last few years. We are a trifecta of winners. However, there is a lot yet to be done. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up our friends, the Colorado Criminal Justice Reform Coalition, who passed the most progressive drug sentencing legislation in the United States this past year. Of course, you may have heard that we also passed marijuana, and Mason Tavert and Brian Vicente have been very supportive. Brian Vicente is a Harm Reduction Action Center board member. We had to snap him up right away to make that happen. And of course, harm reduction policies have been making it happen in the state capitol over the last few years. It's so important for the streets to influence the policy at the capitol. As a direct service provider, it was getting increasingly difficult to have to work under archaic drug policies and legislators telling us what we needed to do. We actually needed to tell legislators what we needed, and we went ahead and passed that. So while we passed POP this past year, syringe access was passed in 2010, and bless Colorado's heart, they thought we were being so revolutionary. And we were just trying to catch up with the rest of the world. In the last 3 years, we've been able to pass syringe access programming, 911 Good Samaritan Law, keeping people alive in the event of an overdose, third-party naloxone, because not only do people that use drugs need to have access to naloxone, those of us that love drug users, we also need access to naloxone as well. We were able to get a syringe exemption for those folks to be able to participate in syringe access programs and dispose properly. In Denver County right now, if you are not part of a syringe access program, you are running 8 to 15 days in county jail per syringe cleaner used, which almost promotes improper syringe disposal. And of course, just a couple weeks ago, we finally got mobile syringe exchange going as well. So we're wrapping that up around here. So while two blocks away at the state capitol, and I really apologize, they covered it up for you, and we haven't seen it for about a year and a half. But two blocks away at the state capitol, things go really well for us. However, a mile west, where we're located, the barriers of stigma have been out of control. That's the common theme that I've heard here today, too. The whole conference is stigma. We've been an agency for 11 years, but we may be able to do syringe access as of last year. Zoning started looking into us, and you know when zoning looks into you, there's always a problem. And so they said you needed to move locations, and then you could begin syringe access. Great! We were at 950 square feet. We wanted to be 4,000 square feet, like Boom Health or something like that. 8 months, seven realtors, and 40 spaces denying us later, we're now in a cozy, intimate storefront, 650 square feet, in the Arts District over on Santa Fe. But it didn't stop there, because the Santa Fe Arts District found no correlation between art and drug use. So of course we had to do a good neighbor agreement, and we can do 9 to noon Monday through Friday for syringe access, because is that the best time to serve those in our community? No, it's just before art buyers go out and go to the galleries. So there continues to be issues because I had to sign a good neighbor agreement, and basically I'm in charge of everything going on in about a mile radius of there. I do especially appreciate the march that happened a couple days ago, especially on 16th Street Mall. I'm not sure if you knew, but the Downtown Denver Business Partnership worked in collaboration with the mayor to basically criminalize homelessness in the city of Denver. If you appear homeless and you sleep on the streets at night and you have a covering over you, such as a blanket or a tarp, you could be arrested. They will potentially not let me do syringe access on the 16th Street Mall. So it was very powerful that we were able to do a march to make that happen. Thank you, thank you. Because sometimes Denver and Colorado in general think syringe access and harm reduction and criminal justice reform are just a few little nutties over on the side, but we're actually making things happen. So as we continue to push forward with laws to implement those to protect those that we serve, we all know if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. Thank you.
Приветствую. Меня зовут Даня Данько. Я редактор журнала High Times. Отвечаю за отдел культивации, или проще говоря, выращивания. Приглашаем вас в Амстердам с 24 по 28 ноября, чтобы посетить ежегодный турнир Cannabis Cup, уже 26-й по счету. Там мы сравним множество видов марихуаны и гашиша из смежных кофешопов. Еще у нас там выставка товаров, семинары по выращиванию, ночные концерты и вручение премии за лучший в мире сорт марихуаны. Хотите получить 10% скидку со стоимости билета? Используйте промокод Данько на сайте cannabiscup.com. Ждем вас!
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Welcome back, everyone. 40 after the hour, and we're highlighting the best of the closing session at the Drug Policy Reform Conference in Denver, Colorado. And if you want to know why I get up every day and research these stories and pour through these stats and do a two-hour show every day and once a month cram my 6-foot, 250-pound ass into a 17-inch chair and coach and haul 50 or 60 pounds worth of luggage to record videos, these ladies will explain why I do it.
So I think when we, not that we ever need to ask ourselves what we're fighting for, but it always helps to be reminded, and oftentimes it's the stories of mothers and their children that just are among the most devastating, and when it goes right, some of the most uplifting. So I wanted to bring up here two remarkable ladies, Karen Garrison and Dorothy Gaines.
Because for two reasons. My sons call me mom. And then for reason I was called activist. I didn't even know what that was. I had to go look it up to make sure they didn't call me something bad. But I know that I have sons all over in the federal system that begin to depend on me. And that's what I do. That's my niche. God walked me to that. He gets me through it. Those are my steps that were ordered. And as we begin to continuously do the radio show, I always had Dorothy, and I was always in a corner from 2000 on. And I said, well, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to do something to make sure she's okay and we're okay and we're going to do the right thing. So I started to think, well, maybe I'll make her a reunification specialist. Then when my friends in France and New Zealand and places started to ask me questions, you know, I said, well, I'm going to make her the international reunification specialist. So now that we're here at DPA, I know that Dorothy is the international reunification specialist. But I'll let her explain why she's at this point, how she got to this point, and why we'll always be connected as we all are.
Knowing that 20 years ago, DPA was fighting for me. Criminal justice policy was fighting for me. Families Against the Mandatory Minimum was fighting for me. Along with my only son at 9 years old was fighting for me. Yes, I am a reunification specialist. I take people from the time of indictment, families, to the courtroom, through the sentencing, after the sentencing. And when mothers that are in prison, their children die, and they can't get there, I do my best to be there to fill in for them. Today is a hardship of what a mother felt and what mothers feel when their children are locked up. I'm reminded that I was sentenced to 20 years in federal prison. In 1995, I was sentenced to 20 years. With the help of all the organization, I was able to get a clemency in 2000, 2 days before Christmas, by former President Bill Clinton. Today, as I stand before you, my only son turned 29 years old yesterday, and he is laying in a state prison facing a life sentence. Now I feel what my mother felt when she died 6 months after I got to prison. My mother died because she couldn't take the pain. 2 years ago, I was laying on life support. They were looking for me to live overnight, and all they could find out that I was stressed from my child. Thank God for my grandson that has stood by me, and DPA, he's coming to help me out, but this has been so hard on my health. But what I want you to know is I want you to pray and fight with me. When the prosecutor laid a life sentence on the table and told my son to plead out, he said no. My son has an addiction that started at 9 years old when he tried to kill himself when I went to prison. My 11-year-old daughter that was molested while I was in prison at 11 years old has an addiction at 30 years old because I was the only parent. Their father died when he was 2 and 3 years old with a massive heart attack. My son don't deserve life. My son deserves treatment because of me leaving him. So as I stand before you, I'm wondering, and I said to my son, I'm sorry that I left you, but it wasn't on me. They locked me up because I refused to be a snitch and lie on someone. That's why I left my son. That's what my son looked like when I left him, and he was fighting me. Now my son has been buried in prison. He's leaving an 8-year-old girl that's crying every day for his dad, her dad. This is my son now, wearing white. When I leave the prison, I think about when he left the prison, when I was in prison, crying, looking through the fence. Now when I leave from visiting him, I'm looking at my son and don't know. I don't want this to be my last DPA conference, but the way I'm feeling now, I will be dead if somebody don't help me. Bring my child home. Thank you for having me.
And every Thursday we have high power late night
Well, I'm going to invite up in a moment one of my colleagues to just finish us off right here, and I'm hoping I'm going to see most of you, or many of you at least, at the awards reception tonight at 8 o'clock, and we'll honor people who have fought for justice in this movement for a long time. But I do need to take a moment personally right here, because one of the things, well, you know, what helps keep me going, and what helps make this possible, is the absolutely extraordinary bunch of people I work with at the Drug Policy Alliance. They are, I mean, off the charts, brilliant, beautiful, amazing people. I mean, many of them, but please, just give a shout out. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel proud about this movement, and I feel proud about my colleagues. And at this moment, I'm going to call up one of those I'm feeling very proud about these last few days. Because when I was asking around, I said, who was hitting it out of the park? And this young woman's name kept coming up. So Cassandra Fennelly, can you come on up there?
Has given me meaning, has brought me to here, to the altar for forgiveness. Forgiving myself for the biases that I've had. So I want to say to everyone in this room, never give up on those that are against us. Because I am here because I'm reformed. So my board president, Ira Glasser, talked about this train. And Alexis, I know you're not going to sing with me because I really want to sing Gladys Knight, Midnight Train to Georgia. But I know you won't do it. So I'm going to ask, is the West Coast here?
Yeah!
Because I'm going to give y'all one more try. Is the West Coast here?
West Coast. Yeah!
Tell me.
Is the South here?
Yeah!
Is the Midwest here?
Yeah!
Where's the East Coast at? And most importantly in my heart, where are my young reformers? Stand up, young reformers. All of you, stand up. Because it is our time. Thank you for our foundation. But thank you, because right now it's our time, is it not? I want to get y'all ready, people, because in 2 years, this is going to be bigger, better, and hell yeah, a lot forever. We're going to the Chocolate City of Washington.
Yeah.
I said it's going to be bigger, it's going to be better, and it's going to be a lot browner. So everybody, can I get a clap?
Yeah.
Cassandra Frederick there, what an amazing speaker. You can see the huge crowd there at the Drug Policy Reform Conference. Easily 1,000 people from all over the world, all walks of life, all states, all avenues of drug policy reform, from the medical marijuana people to the syringe exchange people. Everybody was involved, and it was just an amazing, amazing event. I will never miss another one. It happens every 2 years. You certainly have plenty of time to be able to get your money together to save up for that one if it takes that long. And, you know, I know a lot of people that were getting, bed and breakfast or going in together on a vacation room. You know, there's ways that you can make it affordable. We certainly don't have a huge budget here when we do these travel gigs, but it is so important to get the chance to meet these people that are making the changes, that are making this drug policy in all areas, in so many things I didn't even know about. Naloxone, the overdose cure, basically. Issues with respect to migrants in Latin America. Issues with respect to the hip-hop community. It was so interesting listening to Jasiri X talk about how we get upset about a hip-hop artist talking about booty and shoot-ups and guns and gangs, and we don't realize the record company kind of forces those guys into it. We need to start attacking the tops of those record companies, making them understand the drug policy reform. So much to talk about, so much to learn, and we'll be talking about it the rest of this week on live shows. Starting tomorrow, on Wednesday, we'll be back with our regular live lineup. For everyone here at 420 Radio and all you supporters who kick in to help me get to these events, thank you so much. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seat, you manage, you grow it, you giant, you